for some politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and
Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, it's Mr. FSP. Doing a Duke Club Doodle for you. It is Saturday, May 17th. And it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be my, couldn't you be my neighbor? Hi, neighbor. Well, check this out. Tomorrow, it would be, or it will be, 38 years from the time I was born. 38 years living on this earth, listening to my friends such as JT ATM Money, Black the Bookie, Jeff the Joker, Christopher Hargrove, Eric Royster, Van Jones, Rick Stavens, and a few other folks. But right now, I just want to give all the thanks to God for letting me be here to do this show. We've been doing this show for going on 5 years on June 6th, if I'm not mistaken. June 6th. Monumental day. Unfortunately, I will not be able to help out during the summer and do our customary shows that prepare everybody for the football season. But I know my host, my guy, that dude from the Jersey Shores, banging out the Paulie D, JT ATM Money will be. What's up, JT?
Hey, what's up, my man? It's getting close.
Yeah, man. It's getting close. And, you know, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, actually.
I can't wait.
What you can't wait for?
Oh, boy, I can't wait. You and your buddy are ready to lay it on me. That's okay. That's okay.
Jerry.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
How about if I say Malcolm X? How's that? You know what I mean by that?
Nah, you got to explain that one.
The chickens have come home to roost.
Oh, yes, they have. And I am so happy to say that they come to roost with you. I am so happy to say that.
I bet you are. And just not you. Your boy is really happy. I mean, he's like, I don't know why, but I know why, but it's become redundant, but it is what it is. So I was talking a lot of smack last year. I was humble even before the beginning of the season. But now I'm even more humble, getting my aces kicked left and right.
Oh, yes. We're going to talk about it.
I bet we will.
We going to talk about it.
I bet we will.
I mean, I just love the fact that you are able to come on here and admit it.
Well,
before I even get a chance. You know,
I'm not the type of person to shy away from that. You should know me by. I think you should know me by now. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm getting my butt kicked, and I'm getting my butt kicked. Plain and simple. There's no two ways about it. Not even close.
Okay.
Just get my butt royally smacked around.
Okay. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm fairly impressed at how you have accepted this, but your tactic is trying to take my thunder and my joy away. And so you thought about it. I got it. I understand. You're taking my joy.
I'm not trying to take anything. It just is what it is, man. It's just a royal smackdown week to week, even though I did pull out one, which I was surprised about, and probably you were surprised about because of what it looked like a week from today. I pulled out one last week. So, but it is what it is. So I keep putting my lineup in there, and this is just like I think you were doing last year, and even though I've been talking garbage, but you were having extremely bad luck in the moves you were making. I'm having the same thing. I put a player in, and he does the exact opposite of the one I just put on the bench. The one on the bench hits home runs and does a whole bunch of things, and I put him on the bench and put another guy in and move him. And so I'm yinging when I'm supposed to be yanging and yanging when I'm supposed to be yinging. So I may get it right by the end of the season, but it hasn't looked good up until this point. So it is what it is. I'm getting my butt kicked.
Again, pitchers, you are trying to steal my thunder, and that does not make me happy.
See, you got to acquire that skill. I'm trying to deflect and say as much as I can.
Well, I know how to deflect now. I know how to deflect. But you're just an evil little man messing with my mind.
Oh, no, come on. Now, why you say that? Now, why you got to come off and say that? I'm not an evil little man. Come on.
Because you know I want to just rub your face in. I was going to say for the end of the show. And put it at the top of the show. I didn't want it at the top of the show. No. I didn't want that.
Okay.
Mean, evil little man.
Why do you got to say that?
All right. I'll get off of it.
Evil little man. Come on, man. What's up with that?
Well,
evil little man.
I was going to be the evil little man, but you won't let me be the evil little man because you're admitting how bad you are and not giving me the opportunity to.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you something, Victor. Every week from the beginning of this season, I said I was going to, regardless of how my team was going to be on Sunday, whoever listened to me, I was going to tell them the progress of my team, whether it was good or bad. And I've held true to that. So it's not like I'm trying to deflect or anything like that. I'll be the first one to step up and say my team sucks. No matter what I do, it still sucks. So just because you think I stole your thunder, you didn't. You can come off and say it sucks because it does suck. But the season's still early. I'm only in 10th place. I think there's six teams that get into the playoffs. So four teams that get in the playoffs? Is that what it is for? Okay. Oh, why only four? That doesn't make any sense.
Because we only have 10.
Okay, well, whatever. Anyway, hope springs eternal. I'm always the type of guy with a glass half full versus the glass half empty. So it ain't over until it's over.
It's not over until it's over, as you said. That is true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let me get into the show, since you done took 10 minutes away from what I wanted to do, which was Lambis Lose. But I can't. So anyway, what I want to do right now, ladies and gentlemen, because JT is such a good friend of mine. I think the 717, I think that just might be.
Is that Andrew?
Somebody.
Does he really do you want to rub it into my face?
It's just my
regardless,
friend.
whatever. Go right ahead.
I'm not
I got a big bullseye on my chest right now.
I'm not going to let him on until he presses one so he can come on the show. This just might be somebody listening, which I understand, and they might not want to, you know, talk. But if we get to that point and they're still there, I'm bringing them on. All right, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Family Sports and Politics Saturday edition, and it's brought to you by FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So go there today, place your wagers to get paid. And a way to make some money, some sure money, is to talk about the NBA playoffs, which we're going to do today. They have been exciting, 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 but the same four teams are at it again. After all this great hype and the playoffs and all that stuff, the same four teams are at it again. We'll talk about that. Mike Pham, he and Oprah, or O Network, had a deal going. We're going to hear from his agent, and he's kicking up a little dust already, even though it's supposed to be just about football. You know, some people are saying with this latest move, it's not. It's about making money. Now, I can't blame him because he might not make it to the NBA. I mean, to the
right.
NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And we just lost our call from the 717. I was trying to get to him. They pushed the button. Call back, call from the 717. I appreciate it. Come on back now and you're here.
Why don't you just answer?
Well, I didn't pick him up because I was going through the intro.
Okay.
So, anyway, Mike Pham situation, we'll talk about that today. NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, and, of course, we're going to talk about, you know, Jerry's demise, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, known as never humble, always talking, but getting humbled something awful this year. We'll talk about that as well. With that being said, JTATM Money, what I want to do real quick is get into this topic about Mike Pham, because we're going to talk some NFL. Today, Johnny Manziel takes the field and all this other stuff and all that. So that's part of the hoopla around Johnny Football, but that is one thing that's happening today. Johnny Football takes some snaps. Unlike Mr. Bridgewater, who has been given the reins to the Minnesota Vikings from day one, it's his job to lose. North Turner normally doesn't do that. And that's new. We're going to talk about that stuff too. But we're gonna do this. We're going to talk about Mike Pham and this situation. I'm going to get your thoughts on it, JKT and Mike. And if you people out there want to call in on the hotline, call in, just comment. Number's 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. It is also sponsored by FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So go there today and place some wages so you can get paid. You can also check us out in the chat room right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can catch us streaming 24/7, 365, spotonradio.webs.com. So let's get it done, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear from Mike Pham's agent on this whole situation about Oprah Network and all this other mess. Here we go.
Mike does want to be treated as a football player, and in the ideal world, that's what's going to take place. Obviously, we all know that there's going to be certain, you know, people and outlets that never treat him as just a football player. And I think that, you know, we view it as important for the world and for people to see, you know, what this individual is going through. It's something that will probably never be replicated and has the potential to change lives.
All right, Mr. Taylor, your thoughts?
I'm sorry. I have. What was that? I'm sorry. What did he say? I have my mind in something else. I'm sorry.
The lawyer says that, you know, this is an opportunity for Mike Sam to go out there and you know, play football and make it all about football. And it was a mutual agreement to not do the
yes.
whole deal with Oprah Network.
Okay, yeah, I got the gist of it. Okay, yeah, you know, I can't believe his representation. I think I had to agree with the gentleman on the new NFL Network. By he should get rid of his agents. I think the only NFL players representing is Michael Sam, and it looks like, in my opinion, they were looking out for themselves versus looking out for the welfare of their player. If this had gone through, if this had been allowed, and I'm pretty sure the St. Louis Rams, who got blindsided by it, along with the NFL, for some reason had gone through, it would have been a huge distraction to a seventh-round draft pick trying to make the team. And it was unfair to him. It's a good thing that the president of the own network decided to, and I guess probably was probably something mutual, to put a squash on this, because he's going to have a hard enough time, like I said, as a seventh-round draft pick trying to make the team, much less worry about a freaking reality show. So in everybody's interest, especially the football player, Michael Sam, this was squashed and it was put to the side, hopefully never to come to light again. Okay? I got nothing but high expectations for him, the co-SEC Defensive Player of the Year, to be able to make this team. And somehow, special teams, specialty pass rusher or whatever. I got to believe that he's going to put much effort in, I would hope, to be able to make the team.
So my question is this. Seventh-round draft pick. Highly touted player. Best way he'll make the team is on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Given all the talent that is on that team, he might not even see a lot of play time as a backup. If, you know, somebody needs a blow. You know, no pun intended. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, if somebody needs a blow, he might not even be the first option. So, how do I make money? I've had a subpar combine. I owe my agent money because he paid for me to go to this combine. I owe all types of funds to different people and organizations who believed in me. So I strike a deal with O Network.
No.
Well, listen. So I strike this deal, and if just by some chance I don't make the team, I have some form of payment for all this. Now look, I'm going to say it like this. If he doesn't make the Rams team, there's going to be some serious, serious outcry. Now.
Listen to my reasoning.
As a seventh-round draft pick, solely being used in special team situations, how many times is he going to get on the field to show that he can be a pass rusher in the preseason? Now, I got it. They're going to give him some shots, like in the first 2 weeks or so.
And just like every other.
However, with the spotlight on him for the first 2 weeks, because maybe I say the first week, because week two, they're starting to pare down the people that will be on their special teams. The vets are going to get a little bit more time in. I think the vets play like a half a game week two. Week three, the vets play the whole game. Week four, it's the people left to make the team. Now, will he make it through camp through week four? If he does, that week four game will determine whether he is on the team, if he's cut, or if he's got enough tape to go somewhere else. Now,
I gotta believe they're gonna give him every possible chance to show that he should be a part of the team. You know, he's a seventh round pick, so the odds against him are already stacked, regardless of whatever lifestyle he leads. It doesn't make a difference. This is football. Seventh round picks, I don't know what the percentage are, but seventh round picks usually don't stay around. Usually are cut from one team and probably go to another, or even get on the practice squad. So the odds are stacked heavily against him as we speak. Now, he was the co-SEC Defensive Player of the Year, so he's got some type of ability playing against high-caliber talent. But I don't think the Rams are going to get lambasted or whatever else, or criticized or whatever, because for some chance they may cut him. But just like every high draft pick, when I say high, I mean 5, 6, 7, or low draft pick, whatever you want to slice it, you get your chances. You have to make the most to get the attention of the coaches. Look at Terrell Davis when he was with the Broncos. I think he was a sixth-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. The only way he got the attention of the coaches was when he was on special teams with one particular hit against the 49er, and I forget who it was. So that's what I'm talking about. You're a low draft pick, 5, 6, 7. You're a low man on the totem pole, and you're a rookie. You're a low man on the totem pole. You're only going to get limited opportunities because of the need to put other players that are drafted higher in the game. So you have to make the most of your opportunities. If you don't, too bad. Let me put it that way. This is a cold-blooded business. Too bad. You didn't make the most of the opportunities. I'm sorry. You may be not for this team. Maybe you can get latched on with another team. That's how it rolls. That's the business of pro football.
Well, let me ask you this, JT.
Sure.
Is he a player? Do you think he's a player that can be developed into a talent? Meaning, let's say the Rams keep him, right, through week four, but he gets cut week four preseason, right? But, you know, they get to bring some people back just in case they don't get picked up, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Does he make their practice squad? And if he makes their practice squad, do you think they will be willing to develop him?
Absolutely. I mean, they put him on the practice squad, so they figured he'd got something there. Maybe not to be on a regular roster, but on a practice squad. Absolutely. This guy has to come off the practice squad and make the regular roster. I mean, stay. Yeah, absolutely. There's no reason why he can't. The whole thing is to make the most of your opportunities when you get that opportunity.
And that's my question to you, JT. Does he have what it takes to at least make the practice squad? Put aside the fact that he was a co-MVP this past year. Put aside that fact.
I can't. Right? I can't put aside that fact. But for the fact is, he played in the best conference in college football against NFL-type talent. So you can't put that behind you because of the fact he did that week in and week out. And he performed at a high level to be able to get co-defensive player of the year in the SEC. Now, that's nothing to sneeze about because it's the SEC, and there's a lot of good players on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And he stood out enough that he was able to get half of that award. So he's got the ability. It's just a matter of, is that ability just college ability, or is it pro? Can he take the next leap to be pro type ability? That's something that the St. Louis Rams coaching staff has to evaluate. That is he able to take that next step to become a pro football player, or is he just limited to what he was in college, just a good, very good college football player? I think he can. I think he can. Now, I'm not an NFL coach, but I think he can. I think he's got the determination, and maybe he got woken up a little bit saying, this is not playtime anymore. You came out. Okay, you came out. You got drafted. Okay, we drafted you. Now it's time to go to work, and there's nothing that's supposed to be on your mind but playing football, not reality TV, playing football, plain and simple.
Okay.
And the same thing went with what the owner did with Cleveland, and I got to hand it to my boy. He knows right off the fact. Learn the playbook. Keep your mouth shut. You don't know what you don't know. So,
yeah, Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes.
But we're going to get to that. Mainly because you're doing great transitions for me. I appreciate it. That's why you're my guy. And I trust you with anything I do. I'm serious. Let me hit the Powerball or lottery. I guarantee you I'm buying several radio stations. And you're going to retire. And you're going to be with me at one of the radio stations with Lack and Jeff, and we're going to host our shows on regular radio. Might be small markets. We're going to do that. So I want you to remember that when you're at the racetrack and you get that money like Wes Welker and you just start spending it, and people try to take it back from you. But anyway.
Before we go any further, and I hate to interrupt you one more time, but I got to say this. Because I don't know if you said it because I didn't get your beginning intro completely. Today is May 17th.
Yes.
Which is Armed Forces Day.
Yes.
Okay. So I just want to be a shout out to all the people, all the personnel that are in all the armed forces, regardless of what part, what branch you're in. Much respect. I've been there. I've done that. Maybe not to the extent of some of you, but I got much respect for anybody who has served in the military or is serving in the military right now.
Well, we greatly appreciate that. Coming from a former military member, that means a lot. And I was fortunate enough to wait one extra day so I didn't take all the praise away from all the service members to be born.
Okay.
You know, I was very gracious in that 38 years ago.
Okay.
Well, 37 years, 364 days ago, I was very gracious in not, coming out so the veterans could have their time. And now I get to do double duty. I get to celebrate on the 17th and on the 18th. But
get one step closer to 40.
Hey. I'm the sexiest 40 in the world. Don't you ever forget that. Oh, you know what? You take me off a tangent. But remind me to bring me back to your boy Johnny Manziel.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have never heard the Barack Obama press party sound bites from this past year, when he had Richard Sherman at the event, President Barack Obama went off like he was Richard Sherman. He said Richard showed him a few things. So he called out one particular reporter that gives him trouble. And he pretty much says, you better not ever write nothing bad about me again. And he says all this other stuff. And then, to top it off, he says he feels bad for John Bain. He really does. Because lately, you know, he's been getting heat from his Republican brethren. And he concludes by says, I guess orange is the new black. And that tripped me out when he said that. And he also said, it was something else that he was talking about, and he said, I guess the Negroes can come in the house now. The president's cracking these jokes, and he's saying this stuff. Whoa, Nelly. This happened about 3 weeks ago. And it was shocking, extremely shocking. And, you know, let that have been George Bush, people would be in trouble. But the president, you know, he had some oomph, and he went and did that and said that stuff. Anyway, back to people saying things and doing things. Let's get off of Mike Sam and move on to a couple other players. I'm not going to say value to high target players, but a few players that caught the interest of a lot of people. Talking about Mr. Bridgewater and Mr. Manziel. Now, earlier in the show I said that, and it has been reported by NFL Network, ESPN, and others, that Mike Zimmerman, who is a defensive-minded coach, now the new head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, put the keys to the car and his coaching career in the hands of a rookie from day one, Mr. Teddy Bridgewater. Now,
who'd you hear that?
Oh, that was reported yesterday, guy, and it's been all over the news that Bridgewater is the starting quarterback from day one. He's taking first-team reps, and he is the starting quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah. You better check it out.
Okay.
So anyway, it seems though you're shocked by that.
Well, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked. But that's okay because he's my number two quarterback that I put on my roster. Absolutely.
All right.
There's one thing I like since you brought up Mr. Bridgewater is Norvell Turner as an offensive coordinator, especially working with a young quarterback, especially with a running game and some decent receivers and with a tight end and not that bad of a defense. Mr. Bridgewater. Not to get ahead of my fantasy self, it's going to be a little sleeper of mine. So,
well, I'm making a bold prediction right now. Minnesota wins the NFC North.
Oh, that is a bold prediction.
They win
that
the
is
NFC
a bold
North,
prediction.
And followed by the Chicago Bears, Detroit. And bringing up the rear is Green Bay.
Green Bay Packers bringing up the rear?
Yes. I'm going to break that down when you do get a chance to do the NFC North.
Sure.
Hopefully I'm able to call in on that. But a couple quick things about it, and it brings you back to Bridgewater. One, I like what they've done in the draft. I like what they have, the pieces they have from last year and this year.
Mm-hmm.
They developed Cordarrelle Patterson. You've got Adrian Peterson running the ball. You've got Greg Jennings on the other side. You've got Kyle Rudolph going down the middle. You got a young quarterback who has a offensive coordinator who is a genius who can turn him into a very efficient and productive quarterback with that running game. Then you have Mike Zimmerman, who is going to take that young bar kid and unleash holy hell on the NFC North. along with the defensive players they got from last year and this year, I think Minnesota, even though they're playing outdoors for the next 2 years, that home field advantage isn't going to be that good because Bridgewater isn't a cold weather passer. He doesn't have that strong arm. But I think they're going to win off of the strength of AP and the play action pass.
Just think about this. Teddy Bridgewater, I think he only threw. He takes care of the football. Let me put it that way. So
he
doesn't.
Three or five interceptions.
Yes. So it's not like quite naturally he's going to be a rookie. So that turnover ratio is going to go up a little bit. But he's the type of quarterback that is very conscious about ball security and not turning the football over. So I don't know about winning the NFC North, but it's early. They haven't even got into minicamp or OTAs yet, but not even in training camp. But with Norville Turner, I got to believe that, and this guy's no dummy, even though he had a bad pro day and didn't do too much in the combine. I got to believe Norville Turner is going to put him in situations that are going to benefit him and also quite naturally the team.
Oh, I agree, and that's why I'm saying the play-action pass is going to be his best friend. I look at exactly what happened with the Dallas Cowboys and Norv Turner with a big receiver named Michael Irving,
mm-hmm,
and a killing running back named Emmitt Smith,
mm-hmm,
and a quiet but deadly tight end, Jay Novacek. Now he has some horses up front, too. And if you look closely, Minnesota has some horses. They've got some horses up front. So all Bridgewater has to do is hand the ball off to AP, get a first down on second down with a quick slant or something, and it's done. I'm telling you. All right, anyway, on the flip side of this, I'm looking at your boy Johnny Manziel over in Minnesota.
Cleveland, over in Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Cleveland, over in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good kid, you know, but they're going to sell out because of him, but he's not even going to be on the field. I want to tell you why he's not going to be on the field. Yes, Greg Little has been released by the Cleveland Browns. Yes,
mm-hmm,
Josh Gordon may be suspended for the rest of the year or the whole season. He's trying to plead down to a 4-game suspension. Yes, Nate Burleson has a broken wrist. Yes, they just signed Miles Austin. Yes, they have Ben Tate. And yes, they have a hell of a defense. But the one thing that people aren't really worried about or talking about is Hoyer. Hoyer's a pretty good quarterback. He's mobile as well. Now, I know Johnny Manziel can be, you know, he can sell tickets and stuff like that, but he's not going to win right now. I know Hoyer's only played 4 games, but he's 3-1 in those games. Josh Gordon, out of those 4 games, Josh Gordon had 200 yards receiving in 2 of those 4 games. So, let's say Miles Austin stays healthy. Nate Burleson, he's going to come back off of this broken wrist. I say those two combined are better than Greg Little.
Oh, absolutely. There's no two ways about it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, they're also going out in free agency looking for other receivers as well. There are some great talent on that offensive side of the ball. Offensive line is pretty damn good, too. So what I'm saying to you is this. There is no reason to have Johnny Manziel start unless you want to sell more tickets. Let him develop. Give Hoyer 2 years. I think this is Hoyer's walk year. or 2 years, because this is his second year or third year with the team. He didn't sign a long-term contract, if I'm not mistaken. So let Hoyer develop Johnny Manziel. The coach says that he's not going to start a rookie. So here's what happens. Here's what happens, JT. You know this better than a lot of people because you've been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If Johnny Manziel starts week one, it's because the front office wants him to start. That's why it happens, because the front office wants him to start. Mike Pettine, this guy isn't a bad freaking coach. 717 called back, so I'm going to bring him on in a minute. But Mike Pettine isn't a bad coach at all. Not at all. He knows what he wants. He's a hard-nosed guy, and he's going to run Ben Tate until Ben Tate can't run no more and set up Hoyer for the play-action pass. Again, that's if Miles Austin stays healthy. Nate Burleson is a very, very, very reliable receiver when healthy. They can develop some young talent as well. People get cut left and right, and they've got a great defense. So what do you think about what I just said, JT, before we get to this caller from the 717?
Well, I have to think that Mike Pettine said that he doesn't believe in starting a rookie quarterback. So unless he gets pressure or unless Johnny Manziel and Brian Hoyer are even in their competition going into the regular season, then I would think he would start Johnny Manziel because, quite naturally, they're both learning a new offense because they revamped the whole coaching staff. And if Johnny Manziel can keep up and be even with the talent level that Brian Hoyer is displaying, then you go with the rookie, plain and simple. Then the fallback would be the veteran. But if it's clear that the veteran, Brian Hoyer, is clearly the best quarterback, and quite naturally the team is going to see who the better quarterback is from practice to practice and play to play, then you go with Brian Hoyer. I like Brian Hoyer. It was unfortunate that he got hurt when he got hurt, but I liked him a lot because he was bringing a lot to the table, mobility. He was accurate with the football, short and long. I really like him. So I'm pushing for Brian Hoyer to have a good year and see what happens and see what happens and goes from there. I'm really thinking that Cleveland's going to be one of these sleeper teams because they got a lot of players in place on both sides of the ball to be successful this year in the AFC North. So if they're even, it's Manziel because they're even, then you just go with the rookie because he's younger and it's just a natural. It's just automatic. If you're a rookie and you're even with the veteran, then you go with the rookie. So.
Well, okay. All right. We can table this conversation for a minute, but let's bring in this call from the 717.
Sure.
He has to say that she has to say. So I want to welcome the call from the 717 to the Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday Edition show. You call it in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline where winners win and players play. Please state your name and what you got to say today.
This is Joe in Philly, and I will give a winning play out since this is a fantasy betting show here. Guys, San Antonio does not have what it takes to beat Oklahoma City, even with Serge Ibaka not playing. I said it from the beginning that the minute San Antonio lost in Game 6 to Miami last year and blew the championship, there's no way that they can pull this off. And, by the way, the only reason they made it that far last year is because Russell Westbrook got injured and was out of the playoffs. Everything points to Oklahoma City, guys. They beat San Antonio 4 times this year. 2 years ago when they played in the Western Conference Final, OK City beat them 4-2. And the main guards, you know, Parker and Westbrook, that's a mismatch. You know, this is Oklahoma City's time, and I think the Spurs have had a real easy road here to where they're at. You know, they beat Dallas in seven, and let's be realistic, how good is really Dallas? And then they beat a Portland team, you know, that's kind of a little overrated. OK City has come through the tough bracket of the West. You know, you got Golden State, Memphis, the Clippers. I see an Oklahoma City win, and I don't think it's going to be that hard for them to beat San Antonio, guys.
You know what? And your name? What's your name again?
Joe from Philly.
All right, Joe. You know, I kind of agree with you on this. I know Jerry has a thought process on this as well. That transitioned us to the playoffs because the playoffs have been very, very good. But it's back to the same four teams. And this is an example right here, what Joe's talking about, of, you know, the dominance of these teams. The West, and I said this many, many times before, the West is a murderer's row of players. Whoever comes out of there, they're going to be beat up. And the Heat, you know, they pretty much got a cakewalk. They lost on purpose so they can get an easier road. If the Heat beats, well, I really believe they're going to sweep Indianapolis, the Pacers, but whatever. If Joe from Philly's saying take the Thunder in this series, Joe, how many games does this series go, and who's going to be the MVP? I don't think it's going to be Kevin Durant, first of all, but let me get your thoughts, then I'm going to throw it to Jerry, and we're going to come back to me.
Well, I think if I were to put a play on it, I would say Oklahoma City in six games, just for the simple reason I don't think that they would let it go to seven, and if they did, they would have to win game seven in San Antonio. So that's where my money would be on OK City in six. As far as the series MVP, Durant's the obvious pick, but, you know, Westbrook has such a, advantage, in my opinion, on Parker just athletically. Parker's coming into the series with, a hamstring issue. So, I think from a value perspective, if you were to put a bet on it, I would go with Westbrook just because Durant's probably the favorite, and you'd probably be getting better money taking Westbrook if he did get named the MVP.
Okay. Mr. Taylor, you're in the Jersey area.
Yes. Well, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here because I'm going to pick apart some of what Joe has to say. First of all, he's right that the times that the Oklahoma City Thunder played the San Antonio in the regular season, they beat him every time. But they beat him every time with a full squad, including Serge Ibaka. He's right that if Russell Westbrook had been in the series with the San Antonio Spurs instead of getting hurt, that more than likely that Westbrook and company in Oklahoma City Thunder would have gone to the finals versus San Antonio. Well, we got another Oklahoma City main guy, Serge Ibaka, who happens to be the third leg of the three in Oklahoma, who's hurt this year. So even though that they beat him undefeated in the regular season, they do have a player down, one of their main players, Serge Ibaka, playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, it's going to be a tighter series than I think it would originally have been if Serge Ibaka is going to be there. They have to get someone there that's going to pick up the points and the defensive presence that Serge Ibaka gives out from game to game. It's going to be interesting. I like Oklahoma City Thunder because I'm a Kevin Durant fan, but I think it hurts him greatly that Serge Ibaka is not there, who to be a defensive presence in the middle. They have Kendrick Perkins, but he's not the offensive threat, and it's somewhat of a defensive presence as Serge Ibaka is. So Nick Collison is awkward, and he's not really a consistent offensive threat and he can give up fouls in the middle. But I'm not saying that San Antonio is going to win it. I like Oklahoma City Thunder, but I wouldn't be surprised if San Antonio did it, because the fact is they're hurting inside where they can be vulnerable, and I'm talking about Oklahoma City.
Can I make a counterpoint real quick, gentlemen?
Sure.
Go right ahead.
I agree with what you said, but the emergence of Steven Adams, the rookie from Australia, from Pitt,
right.
I think he's playing good, guys. I mean, I've seen a dramatic improvement over the last, I would say, month or so, even the beginning of the playoffs to where he was in the end of that Clippers series. I think that kind of lessens the blow losing Ibaka when you have someone like Steven Adams. And, you know, obviously, you know, you got Collison and Perkins. I think they have enough to offset the front line where it's not going to be a major disadvantage. But I just go back to Westbrook and Durant, just their matchups, who's going to be covering them, and just their, you know, the superiority of their athletic ability over what anything San Antonio has.
Okay.
Now, you know, I see both sides. I see both sides. I think Thiago Splitter and Collison, that's a very good matchup. I really think that's a good matchup, mainly because they both have a very similar game. Although Splitter is more offensive-minded than Collison. Collison plays pretty good defense, and you're right, Jerry. He does foul. He makes senseless fouls at times, but he needs to stay under control. This series is a strong, strong indication of, that basketball in the NBA is about fundamentals. Now, guys, Russell Westbrook is far from fundamentally sound. Got it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, these teams can either run or they can play half-court basketball. They play defense. And the Joe from Philly, you're right. The Spurs have somewhat of an easy road, somewhat, because if you look at who the Thunder had to play, they had to play last year's conference final opponent, the Grizzlies, in the first round, and they went to overtime in every game. Except for one thing. So they were battle-tested, beaten up, against a team that can out-rebound, can play defense, can shoot, da-da-da-da-da. And they won that series. Then they come and play the Clippers, who like to run and gun, but they forced the Clippers to play small half-court basketball. They forced them to slow the tempo. They forced them to play their style. So, you know, Joe's making some very good points here, and I'm glad you're doing that. I hope you go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners win and players play, and place a wager, Joe, and take some friends with you and sign up, because I think you might be making some money. Honestly, I do. The thing I see here in this series is it's going to be physical. It's going to be physical. And if Durant, he's not built like, you know, LeBron James. He's a skinny, tall guy that can shoot the ball. Rarely does he go down low. Rarely does he go to the box. In this series, him and Tim Duncan, he's going to force Tim Duncan to come out and play him. He has to. And that's not Tim Duncan's strong suit. I mean, I don't want Kevin Durant to settle for jump shots, but in order to get Tim Duncan out of that box so he can be Mr. Defensive Player, he's going to have to make some jump shots. Westbrook is going to have to take it to the rim. They can't settle for jump shots in this series. They have to be physical and go at the Spurs. Joe brought up a point that Oklahoma won the series 4-0 during the season. I got a counterpoint to that. If you look over in the East, the Nets beat the Heat. 3-1 or 4-1 in their series. But in the playoffs, it was something totally different. And, yes, the Spurs and the coach of the year have, you know, they've got tricks. They've got Kawhi Leonard coming out, Boris Diaw, Bellinelli, Ginobili, all these guys. And he's smart. Popovich, he's resting these guys at the right time so that once this series came about, they can play, if need be, all 7 games with very little subs in. But, again, I agree with you guys. Oklahoma City should win this game. I mean, win this series. I'm actually going to give them 5 games. I'm going to give them 5. I think it's going to be a 4-1 series, and we're going to see a quick NBA Finals because I think Miami's going to sweep the Pacers. I want to transfer
well, I want to ask Joe a question, okay? Regardless of who comes from the West, it maybe makes a difference, maybe it doesn't, but I want to get his opinion. Just hypothetically, Oklahoma or San Antonio goes to the finals and Miami goes past Indiana. Do you think Miami repeats or does the West take the championship?
No way does Miami repeat. Guys, last year Miami did not deserve to win that championship. It took a choke by San Antonio in the last minute for Miami to win. When I look at all-time great teams that win 3 championships in a row, like the Lakers or the Chicago Bulls, I don't see that in Miami. I see a team this year, LeBron James has to do everything, and I see a Western Conference that's absolutely loaded. If they were to match up against San Antonio, I just think San Antonio wants to beat them so bad, and they should have last year, they will. And then if it's OK City, I think that they'll beat Miami also. So as a proposition bet, I'm sure you could go, you know, to the website that you're promoting and take the Western Conference final, whoever it is, to beat who comes from the East. I think that's a great bet because I don't see Miami winning it again. I think the reign of the Big Three, Miami's over.
Oh, I agree with you so much on that, Joe. I really do. Because I was about to get into that. Even though Miami is built around LeBron James, Dwayne Wade's there, Chris Bosh, he's done a little bit, Birdman isn't a real big factor, Ray Allen, he's coming on during the playoffs as he normally does, but Mario Chalmers and Norris Cole, they need to freaking step it up a little bit as well. Granted, the Pacers are Jekyll and Hyde. 1 minute, they can play solid defense based on Roy Hibbert. The next minute, they're just letting anybody and everybody do what they want. David West needs to become the enforcer and scorer in the paint for the Pacers. If he can establish his dominance and get Chris Bosh along with Chris Anderson in trouble, that leaves Udogas Haslem to come in and play center slash power forward and try to do something to David West. Roy Hibbert, all he needs to do in this game, all he needs to do is get boards. I mean, in the series, not just the game, but in the series, get boards. If he scores 6 points from the field, great. He needs to get boards and free throws. Boards and free throws. That's all. That's his role. And Paul George, he's going to have to step his game up to cover LeBron. But, unfortunately, I think the team, the Pacers, that is, they are not, you know, I don't know if it's a mental thing. It's not a physical thing because they have the physicality to do this. But I see him tanking. I really do. JT, what do you got? Jerry.
No. Oh, no, I was just going to say, guys, I'm looking at the series price now. Miami Heat's minus 420. If you like the Pacers, they're plus 310. So, you know, I agree. I think Indiana has a lot of question marks. They've had some disturbing losses, especially, you know, to Atlanta. They lost by 20. That one game against Washington, they lost at home by 20. But I can't take Miami because they're just no value. Laying 4-1 is just too much, in my opinion.
I can agree. I can agree. I mean, I'm going with the dog to at least cover. To at least cover the spread. I got to see the first game, though, before I lay anything on there. But, Mr. Taylor.
Yes.
What do you think about this series?
Well, Miami and Indiana? God.
Yeah.
Man, Miami's been playing well. They pretty much had an easy go of it up until this point. First Charlotte, and then now the Nets, and dispatched them pretty handily. Indiana, they had a bad matchup against Atlanta, and the combination of them playing bad, they escaped out of that. Then they they went to it and played the next opponent and
Wizards.
Yeah, the Wizards, and that's a young team, young athletic team, probably a year or two away from being serious contenders. They have issues in their mental toughness. Their ability is there. Their mental toughness, and I don't know what kind of funk they were in over the past 2 to 3 months at the end of the season. But this is where they wanted to be. They wanted to be the number one seed, and they wanted Miami back because they match up well against Miami. Just like you said, the first game is going to be a telltale sign of how this series is going to go. And I hope it's a close game. And not a blowout. I hope it's a close game with Indiana with the ability to win the game or not. And if they do win the game, then that's going to be a telltale sign that they're mentally tough, especially since what they went through at the ups and downs they went through in this playoff, that they have a good shot of beating Miami. I really believe, in my opinion, I really believe, and I always have the thinking, like I told you earlier in the program, of a guy that's the glass is half full. That, and I said it in one of the series, I forget what series it was, I thought they turned the corner, meaning Indiana, that they got their confidence back, they got their swag back, and they have their home court advantage. They have no excuse, and I think I'm not going to think. I'm saying they're going to get past Miami, and they're going to the finals.
Whoa, that's a bold statement, sir.
They're going to the finals. They're getting past Miami. They're going to shock the world, regardless of what questionable calls the ref may have toward Miami. They're still going to get past Miami and go to the finals.
I like it. I like that.
Oh, wow. Well, Joe, you know what? I want to thank you for calling in. Do you have anything you want to add before we move on to the next subject?
No, I just love that guarantee because I'm not a Miami Heat fan at all. I think that Indiana has been looking all year long just for this series against Miami, and I think they kind of got sidetracked.
Yep.
To be honest with you, now they're exactly where they want to be. All those other series, all of that last 2 months doesn't mean anything how bad they play. They have home court and they have against Miami, just where they wanted to be. So I would love to see it. And I think if you're getting 3-1 odds plus 300 on that, you could make a small wager, in my opinion.
Yep.
Hey, you're speaking words. I understand, Joe. So everybody out there listening, everybody, Joe, you included, tell your friends and everybody else, go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, sign up, load your card up, go spend some money, and make some money. Just do it. You know what? Be like Nike. Just do it. You won't regret it. But so I want to thank you for listening to the show and calling in. We're going to transition to another topic. I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold, or I can hang up on you, and you can either chime back in, hit one, if you want to get in on the conversation. We've got about 24 minutes left of live air. I want to greatly appreciate your insight and your thoughts. Very well thought out. Very good call. I just want to say that to you while you're here on the air. So thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good one.
You do the same, Joe.
Hey.
Thanks for calling in.
You bet.
Hey, and by the way, you're welcome to come back at the end of this series to talk to Jerry if the Pacers don't pull it out. I want to put it out there. Call in, talk to Jerry, and, land-base him a little.
I'm with Jerry. I want to see it, too. I'm a diehard Boston Celtics fan, and I've had about enough watching the Heat.
Thank you.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%, Jerry, on the Pacers.
Thank you.
All right, Joe. Thanks for listening to the show. Stick around. We got a lot more stuff coming up. So, again, I'll put you on hold. If you want to chime back in, just hit one. For now, hit two, and we'll get you back on the air. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Joe from South Philly. Great call. Great call. I like his insight. He even has the betting lines and all that. That's the type of guy I like calling. great conversation. Seriously, he helps us promote the website. He helps us to, give good information and insight. He's got odds and all of that. So that's what I'm talking about. All right. Now, two subjects. We got about 20 minutes. Now, this subject matter right here, I don't know how many people are going to chime in on it, but if you want to chime in, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. It's a very sensitive subject because of the nature of it, and we're going to stick with the NBA. Doc Rivers has come out and said that he might be looking for new employment.
Really?
I don't know how he's going to break his contract. I don't know. Maybe there's some clause in there. But he's saying that if Mrs. Sterling is, taking this whole thing to court and stretching this whole ordeal out through the divorce, because while they're in a divorce, Donald Sterling cannot relinquish the team. It's a loophole because it's an asset between the two.
Right, I understand that.
So he can't give it up.
Uh-huh.
So that means Donald Sterling will remain the owner, regardless of what the NBA tries to do. They cannot remove him if that happens. So, with that being said, let's hear.
Oh, yes, they can.
None of us chosen for this. None of us, signed on for this. But this is what happened. And, the way I looked at it, it was my job to do everything that I thought was right. And I guarantee I made a lot of mistakes in this as well. I still wish I could have protected the guys more.
So that was on the loss of the series to Oklahoma City. But he went on record as saying that he's looking for different employment. He might be looking for different employment if this continues to drag out and stuff like that, because he doesn't see himself playing or coaching for an organization with the Sterlings involved. And I can understand that. I really can. It is what it is. It is what it is. So, real quick, JTHN Money, give us your thoughts on that.
Well, my thought is this. Now, quite naturally, it's 50-50. You're thinking about California and the husband and wife going through a divorce. Well, you got to think about this, too, all right? Say they force him out. Say they force him to sell the team. Well, he sells the team. He's got the money. So regardless of whether he has the team or not, he has the money. So that money, regardless of whether he's married or whether he's divorced, is going to get split between him and his wife, regardless, in my opinion, whether he has control of the team. And he already signed an agreement. All the owners signed an agreement that if the main entity that owns the team is dispatched, anyone that's a partner, including a spouse or relative, they also get dispatched. They also are ousted. So I understand that it's part of the marital property, but that's just like a house, in my opinion. You sell the house, the assets are split between the two parties. Just like that, regardless if he owns the team, he gets ousted, and a year or two down the road, the assets of the sale of that team get split between the husband and wife. I don't see where that would be a hindrance on whether that team gets sold tomorrow or a year from now. I don't see that where that would be a hindrance, because regardless of what happens, the assets of the sale of that team are going to get split. Plain and simple.
Well, Jace, I mean, I got that. But here's what I'm saying on this whole subject matter. The guy did what he did. He continued to talk and say things that are just – he's saying what a lot of people think, and he's saying –
he can't help himself. He can't help himself.
And that's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting to. The wife says he has three onset of Alzheimer's or dementia. No, that ain't it. That is not it. The guy just feels a certain way. And there are a lot of people in the world that feel that way. He's just bold enough to say it, and he's rich enough to say it, and there is no real consequence because, as you said, he bought the organization for what? I think $60 million or
No, he bought it for between $12 and $15 million, somewhere around there.
Okay. And he's going to end up selling it for $600 million.
Nope, more than that probably.
Well, that's the starting bid. So
right. It
doesn't matter either way. He's 80 years old. I'm not saying he doesn't have that many more years left on the earth. I'm not saying that. But he doesn't have a lot of time to spend all that money, and neither does his wife. So it doesn't matter. But for the players and the coaches that feel, okay, you know what, I got to work for this guy. He feels this way about me. He feels this way about people that I like, that are friends of mine. That's not the way I feel, but I represent him, the city, and all this. It's a wear and tear of a mental game. We just talked about the mental issues that the Pacers went through and are going through. The Clippers have the same or had the same situation. It's
a
mental drain.
Yeah, but right now they have somebody that's in charge right now. Donald Sterling, for all intents and purposes, has nothing to do with the team, and he only has the team in name only. And that's just something that you have to go through the process to get rid of. Now, it's not going to be a quick thing because right now he's refused to pay the $2.5 million fine. His lawyer said that. So he's going to fight every inch of the way. But all intents and purposes, him and whoever is a partner with him, including his wife, is out. He signed an agreement, just like all other 29 owners do, that if for some reason that they get 75% of the owners to say, we want you out, you're out. Plain and simple. There's no two ways about it. So maybe Shelley Sterling wants to stay, but she has no choice in the matter. She's not the principal owner. She's a minority owner, and when the principal owner gets put out, anybody who's part of that ownership is out also. So you're just going to get whatever the asset of the sale is, and you have to deal with that.
Now, JC, that's all well and good, but what I want to get to is Doc Rivers. and this franchise. It worked hard to come up from the depths of the worst team in the NBA. How does that? Well, what I'm saying is,
how does that what?
When Elgin Baylor was in charge,
right?
Of, you know, when he was the GM, he was constrained mm-hmm. by Donald Sterling and the amount
right.
of money he's willing to spend. Da 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 da. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so if this whole situation drives on and keeps going on, and Doc decides to leave, and players start to leave, who will come to the organization as a player or coach? The
Good
reason
luck.
Why I say that is, well, that's what I'm saying. The Clippers then go back to that, it's going to be hard to sell a ticket. I can't give away tickets because of this one person and his family and the stigma. So when the coach of the organization says he wants out if this stuff continues to happen or people are still in place and this becomes a distraction, who wants to go there? Blake Griffin, his contract will be up. Chris Paul, he just signed an extension, got it. But it will eventually be up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Danny Granger, he's a free agent. And given the opportunity, he can actually still play pretty good. You know, it's not looking good in L.A.
Well, right on top for now. Well, look at it this. Right now, they have a guy that's the head of the organization. Okay, he's the I wouldn't say the face of the franchise, but he's the head of the organization. But he's basically a money guy. Doc Rivers is running the whole show. I don't know if you know that or not. He besides being a coach, he's the president of personnel or something like that. So
correct.
He's the personnel type of guy. He has a lot of responsibility and a lot more power than he originally had before all this took place. So he has a lot of say, regardless of Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling's on his way out, and Doc knows that. Come on, these players know that. It's just a matter of time on when it gets done. What happens going forward and what kind of role Doc is going to have, whether he's going to have what he has now, just like Stan Van Gundy got total control, basically, or is he going to go back to his coaching and have someone in place that Doc can work with that and the whole organization gets turned over minus the Sterlings? Because right now it's really minus the Sterlings right now, even though they do still own the team. The players and Doc need to get over that. He was the owner. He came out and did all this stuff. The NBA is taking it to as far as the NBA can do, take it to get rid of Donald Sterling. They're gonna quite naturally vote him out. That's going without saying. And it's just a matter of time before he's actually no longer, and anybody that's in the Sterling family no longer owns the team. So now they can move forward to what they want to do, because they know things are going to be in place that's going to, for the most part, get rid of the whole bad taste of Sterling in their mouth and a lot of people, other people's mouth. The only uncertainty that could be, and it's got to be a small uncertainty, is for some reason Donald Sterling happens to win and still retain the ownership of the team, which is unfathomable and unrealistically to think that would happen, in my opinion. So I don't know why Doc would say something like that, because for all intents and purposes, I know it originally stings, but if you really sit back and think about this, the guy, once he's made these statements and then followed up with more statements, and once the commissioner said what he said, he's out. He's out, gone. He's banned for life. $2.5 million fine is a drop in the bucket for him. He refuses to pay it. Okay, you refuse to pay it, but you're still out. We're going to vote you out. You sign an agreement, and once we decide that we want you out, you're out. Plain and simple. You can fight it all you want, but if something like this goes to arbitration, which it will, goes to arbitration, you're going to see, well, you signed this agreement. You as an owner, agreed that if 75% or more of your owners decide that you're out, you're out, plain and simple. It's an exclusive
okay.
club.
Well, I just wanted to get that out there. I know a lot of people have talked about it, but it hasn't really been talked about extensively, just from a viewpoint that we attack it from. We
mm-hmm.
got a few minutes left of live air, and I want to do a couple of promotions before we get ready to get off of here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this Sunday, as usual, the Master Plan airs at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Right.
And tomorrow, JT's going to talk about what?
Going to be talking about my baseball team and breaking it down a little bit more, which I always do every Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm not afraid to go one way or the other, talk a lot of junk one way or the other, or talk to be humbled. Doesn't make a difference. I still talk about my team. And also probably going to talk a little about I'll talk about the NBA playoffs and also talk about some opening up a rookie camp of these players, of these rookies that got drafted, including the high profile. We talked a little bit on them. I want to talk a little bit more about some of the other ones and whatever else happens to hit my head at the time. And also,
okay.
I don't want to forget. I may forget tomorrow, but I'm not going to forget today. When we get to close the show out, then I'll say it. Go ahead.
Okay. Then on Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, JT's back with Jeff and Black as they
mm-hmm.
do the FSP Cruise Show. They're going to do a week roundup of what's going on in the world of sports. A topic that I think they're going to talk about a little bit is, of course, NBA playoffs, but the NFL Top 100. There's some interesting people falling in some interesting places. Matt Forte is not the 91st best player in the NFL. I don't know who was smoking on that one.
Matthew
Stafford is not the 100th best player in the NFL. I don't know who's smoking on that one. But, you know, that might be talked about as well. Then you're right back here, at least during the summertime, on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with me and JT doing Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition. We're going to start breaking down each NFL division, I want to say, at the beginning of July, or no, you want to do mid-June or
mid-June. Mid-June.
Yeah. Mid-June. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, as usual, we do our fantasy topics, meaning what fantasy value is on each team, where we think they're going to land, and all that other stuff. So get ready for that coming up. And whatever else is on our mind, we'll talk about it. We'll do it. You can always listen to us live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ VICHBK. If you want to hear us 24/7, 365 days a year, you can go to spotonradio.webs.com and fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. And you'll hear us 24/7, 365. You can also advertise with us. All you got to do is sign the dotted line, give us a little cash, and we'll make it a blast for you and your company. And if you want to come back here to Blog Talk Radio, you can listen to the archives. Great shows, great entertainment, great information. Again, all of this is brought to you by FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. So go there today and place your wagers. I want to thank our guest that came on today. He was actually a caller, turned into somewhat of a guest. I want to thank
yes.
Joe from South Philly.
Joe from South Philly or Joe from Philly?
I thought he was from South Philly, but we
okay.
can call him Philly. Joe
okay.
from Philly.
Okay.
Some great information.
Yep. Gave us some betting information, which was cool. Greatly appreciate that, especially for those that want to go to the website and take some bets. I really like that. You can come on whenever you want. well, I appreciate him coming
You're a
on.
Funny guy.
Oh, I know. But last thing I want to talk about real quick, and I'm going to do it real quick, since JT stole my thunder at the top of the show. The chickens have come home to roost, as JT would say. JT's at the bottom of the barrel of our fantasy baseball league, and it doesn't look like he's going to get anywhere close to out of the cellar. Right now, I'm making a comeback just like he did, and I'm beating up on the number two team in the league, and we're going to see how this plays.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, my stick and my everything's coming together, as I hope. It's just a couple weeks too late, but I'm not out of the hunt, so that's the main thing. So hopefully my players will step up and continue this power surge and keep us going and winning. But, JT, I'm going to tap dance all over you as long as you are below me. Of course, you're going to hear it as long as our buddy, Mr. Weber, Andrew, is sitting at number one. He's going to grind your gears until you come up. I'm just telling you.
I understand that. That's fine. That's fine. I don't understand why he's got a vendetta on me now, but it is what it is. It is what it is.
From last year, guys. It's from last year.
Well, whatever. I mean, he made the playoffs and I didn't, but and it is what it is. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I can't do anything about it. He beat me fair and square. I admitted it. We'll see what happens. I know we're going to meet at least once more before the season's out. We'll see what happens. Maybe I get my one day in the sun. Who knows?
You're still going to be at the bottom. All right, JT, it's time to wrap the show up. And head on out and enjoy the rest of this day. And again, we want to say great day and all that for the armed forces, since this is Armed Forces Day.
Mm-hmm.
Got much love and respect for each and every last service member, whether you're in the Marines, Air Force, Navy, Army, Coast Guard, whatever, you're serving or have served, and that's a lot more than some people.
Yep.
It's a big, big deal. So with that being said, JT, closing remarks, brother.
All right. Well, like I want to echo what Vic had to say. I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. Much respect for anybody who has served or is serving in the military in whatever branch they're in. I also want to thank my dear friend, not thank him, but wish him a very merry, happy birthday. He's going to be a bright and sprite 30-something-year-old tomorrow. Hopefully, if he calls in, he calls in. If he doesn't, I just want to make sure that he enjoys his day. Every year that you can enjoy your birthday is a blessing, especially with your close friends and absolutely with your family. So cherish the time that you have, because you never know when you don't have any more time. So with that, my friend, I definitely want to wish you a very happy birthday, and many more to come.
Hey, I appreciate that, JT. I really, really do. 38 is a big number for me. I'm hoping and praying that, it will be a great year, another year for me. My kids, my wife, my life, having friends like you, Black and Jeff, supporting and doing all these great things. I'm very blessed. Very, very blessed. So thank you very much, brother man.
Not a problem.
Can't guarantee it.
Not a problem. You enjoy your day, man. That day's not made up if you call me or not. I'm not saying that derogatory, but just that you enjoy your day, whatever you do.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get off the air. I want you to, again, come on back now. You're here. It's always good to have great conversation with good folks and spend some information that you might not know, or see to a website, namely fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners win, players play, to make some money on today. We about to get out of here. JT, do what you got to do, baby.
From Vic and myself and all the veterans and servicemen that that are serving presently, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking Fantasy Sports and Politics.